Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
Same boat. We can all believe what we believe. Peacefully agree, disagree.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here with another episode of Common Ground with my co-host Melissa Lucas on KNTR Talk Radio 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free, Vox Populi, Voice of the People. Catch us here every Tuesday at 10 a.m. instead of 9 due to daylight savings until spring. Well, let me tell you guys, there is one word that evokes a really strong reaction and heated debate across the country today. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. These highly trained and brave federal law enforcement officials are on the front lines of the immigration issue, enforcing the laws of our nation and defending all of us from violent offenders and ensuring that the people who entered our country illegally meet the requirements to stay in America. These federal officers are now targets of violence and risk their lives and the lives of their families. It is no wonder why they are wearing masks to cover and protect their identity. ICE was founded in 2003 as a response to 9/11, and there was little coverage of their actions until recently. Why? Because ICE has drastically ramped up their activity in response to the invasion by millions of illegal immigrants that flooded our nation under President Biden's administration. We will be discussing this today with our guests and with you, our listeners. Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our guest today and the staff that makes our show happen? And let our listeners know how to reach out to us on Common Ground, featured on KNTR Talk Radio.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, everyone. You can text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-KNTR, which is also 5687. This morning, we're here with Marissa June, our producer, Red Bull Ronnie, our co-creator, and Paul Lavoie, the operations manager, is also in the house. And remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen to us on 106.3 in Golden Valley and Kingman, 106.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, Mojave Valley, and Needles, or 106.7 right here live in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. I do want to do a quick shout-out to our Common Ground sponsors, Blonzi Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Martin Swanee Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia, Neat Pool and Supply, and Trailside Firearms and Trading Company. Thank you guys so much for your support. We really appreciate it. All right, on to the show. We have our guest today is Havasu Ray. Thank you so much for coming to the show today.
Oh, thank you.
Can you give us a little bit about your background? Where are you from?
Scotland, initially, yeah.
A legal citizen?
Legal, oh yeah, 100%. There was no way of getting in at that time in the 90s without going through all the hoops and getting all the background checks and making sure everything was legal and above board and everything. It's changed days indeed now compared to what it was back in the good old days.
Right, and you are a resident of Lake Havasu City.
Yes.
Right? One of my bar customers. I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, thank you again for coming to the show.
Anything.
So, ICE baby, that is the subject today.
It's a big topic.
I spent the last almost week after the show yesterday. I had to go back to my other store because I'd been gone for a minute in Oregon. And I just shared a video from the Oregonian, which is the big, big newspaper in Oregon. And it was the Frog Tifa. There's a whole bunch of protesters dressed in frog costumes at the ICE facility up there. It's big unrest going on at the ICE facility in Portland. I'm not sure how we're doing here in Arizona.
Well, here's what it really boils down to. As we were discussing before the show, the reality is I support, I'm a constitutionalist. I support their right to protest, to speak up, to have disagreement with our policies. Shout it from the rooftops. However, you have to shout from the rooftops, honk your horns, yell and scream within the hours where it's legal to do that before it becomes a noise ordinance issue. You cannot go and impede them from doing their job.
You can't park your car sideways.
Right. You can't, throw things at officials or hit them. You can't damage their vehicles or property or business. That's a violation of the law. They go to jail. So what's happening is they're getting creative license to do what they want. The media is giving them a pass, some of the media outlets.
The protesters a pass?
Sure they are. Many of them are doing honest protesting. I'll go back to January 6th.
Okay.
January 6th, there was a number of thousands of protesters who were abiding by the law. There were some that got caught up in the mess and started violently attacking the Capitol. Well, those people are criminals. You know, they were violently protesting. Speak your mind.
Wasn't there 1,000 arrests or something?
More.
1,200 arrests?
So think about what these ICE protesters are doing. They are adamantly against federal law enforcement officers. These people have been duly appointed and sworn in to protect and defend our country, just like a police officer. They're given a task, and their task is to take illegal people in our country that are violating the law and bring them in and deport them. That's up to the courts to do that. But if you, before the show, we were talking about the percentage of violent criminals that they're apprehending versus just anybody. It's not like they're going and just rounding up everybody. They're going and trying to target. They have unintended consequences.
Right.
They'll sometimes scoop up people, but they're vetted and they're probably released. But what we're having now is we're having citizens of the United States violently protesting against ICE officials, damaging their cars, throwing ice and bottles of water at them. And when they respond by throwing some tear gas, oh, they're bad. And as Whoopi Goldberg said on The View a few days back, she called them violent criminals. These are police. These are federal law enforcement officials.
I did look that up. Because I've seen misinformation about. So we all heard the ads. You know, come join ICE. You know, $50,000 sign-on bonus. Like they were really trying to hire anybody off the streets. And people were saying that they weren't real cops. I looked it up. It says ICE agents are federal law enforcement officers. They have the right to. To use force in necessary situations.
Well, of course. So
they're not mall cops.
They're federally mandated law enforcement officers. If you look at them as similar to the FBI, they're agents of the federal government. They are not local police. They don't have to have the permission to be in a state. They're right. Federal officers.
Right. It says federal law enforcement officers with the authority to make arrests, conduct investigations, and use reasonable force when necessary, and prioritize public safety threats.
Well, sure. So how do you feel about what's been going on with ICE? You come from another country.
Yeah.
So do you have friends or people that you're associated with, or even in the long past, that had issues or interactions with federal officials regarding their immigration status?
Nope. Haven't had any friends or relatives or had any issues like that.
And why? Because did it legally?
They did it legally.
That's right.
Does Scotland have an ICE?
They are having issues in Britain and a whole with immigration too. I don't think they've got an ICE, but they do have an immigration service, and then they've got MI6 and MI5. That have stepped in. They're similar almost to like FBI over here, mm-hmm. and they're sending people out to round up criminal aliens and deport them.
I wonder how many countries out there have specific agencies just for undocumented immigrants.
I'd have to check, but I think I'd have to look and see if Britain has set up one of those. Never came to mind before, like America has.
Yeah.
Well, what a lot of foreign governments will do when they're faced with a new problem, something that hasn't existed before, is they'll create a team, a task force. Is
like
what
Doge.
Yeah.
They'll create a task force. They will allocate funds and allocate resources and personnel to address an issue that's new and burgeoning in their countries. So what we have now here in the United States, because of the previous administration's open border policy, which, of course, they deny. But let's see, we have near zero coming in now, and we had millions coming in before. So we're now dealing with a situation that's unprecedented in our country. We had illegal aliens and illegal residents in our country, but that was over an extended period of time, millions of them. They call them dreamers, for example, a large percentage, people who were born in the United States to illegal immigrant parents.
Yeah.
And the laws state that if they're born in the country, they're citizens.
Natural-born citizens.
That's correct. So you have parents of citizens who were born here to illegal immigrant parents that theoretically could be deported with the kids still being here. It's just a sticky situation. But currently with the violence, this is where the real problem is. They've resorted to violence, and a lot of it is related to the media propagating the notion that it's okay. Listen to the government of governor of Minnesota, Waltz.
Yes.
He's based, and the
he even called out Oregon
and the district attorneys.
So
what's really happening now is we have people pushing the envelope in hate speech. Violent criminals from Whoopi, Walt saying, you know, that it's okay to stand up to these people. Well, no, it's not. It's not okay to stand up to them. It's okay to yell at them. It's okay to protest them. It's okay to write letters. It's okay to vote. It's okay to wave signs. It's not okay to ram their vehicles, run them over, or attempt to run them over. It's a miracle that not a single ICE officer has been killed yet. And just wait.
Really?
It will happen.
I'm surprised.
There's been injuries, yeah.
Especially
sure.
How violent they can be. The protesters can, you know, throw.
Well, yeah. Think about it. It's akin to what happened during, and you can know this from where you live part-time up in Oregon, during the George Floyd protests. They took an incident that was tragic and preventable, and it was very caustic, and turned it into this melee countrywide where they were occupying, burning, blowing up, damaging for months and months. I mean, even here in Havasu, they even came down. I mean,
right. Portland was on fire for 100 days after the George Floyd thing.
Right.
Also, the parallels between the George Floyd incident and the last week's incident in...
Well, Miss Good, who was killed,
yes,
in the shooting with the, there's now a second video that, of course, the left wing media has not really advanced publicly. Shows clearly that she was, for minutes before the incident, was blocking traffic, honking her horn, yelling and screaming, and then when she was finally approached, saying, "Hey, you can't do this," that's that time she tried to move and get out of the way and forward herself when the federal officer was asking her, "You need to open your door and identify yourself, basically. You're in violation of the law." He had every right to ask for her to leave the vehicle or to present her identification. She was in violation of the law. So her response was to leave. And he was directly in front, and she kept forwarding her vehicle, and it ended up being the way it was. He used deadly force. Well, it's a tragic situation.
It is a tragic situation.
We'll catch up on a little bit on our break coming up here on KNTR 106.7, 5 and 3 Common Ground. Voice of
the Free.
You betcha. Catch you here in a minute. Collaborate and listen. ICE is back with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know.
Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Marissa, what you got for us? We got some sponsor reads here. There we go.
We're in the headphones backwards. All right. We're going to give a shout-out to our sponsors that make this show possible, starting with Blondie Steakhouse. Mouth-watering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blondie's is where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Next, we have Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. They're the small-town store with the biggest auto and hardware selection in the area. Find what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in-store today, just off Bowie Road in Golden Valley. and Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose.
All right. Thank you,
Marissa. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. Can you guys text us in at 928-727-5566 or give us a call at 928-854-5687? We'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
So we're talking about immigration dreamers, and you had something to say?
Right, yes. Yeah, so the anchor babies, the ones born and raised, right, so we've got them, and then we've got the dreamers themselves. Who
What's a dreamer?
Here. A dreamer is a person where the folks immigrated here. And they brought their kids here but didn't register their kids with immigration and get them naturalized.
Hmm.
So the kids grew up here, and then Obama, during his administration, Joe Biden, 4 years of administration, they had like 12 clear years to declare themselves and step up and get their papers and get everything documented and everything get legal, and they didn't do it. They waited till Trump stopped in office and shut the doors, and then they raised Cain, and then that time was too late, you know.
Oh.
So that's what the dreamers
and
were.
And then Biden came and opened it up again, and then they failed to do it again.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
yeah.
What really happens is that people are given opportunities, but they have fear. They have fear that, oh, well, they've opened it so you can register,
mm-hmm.
but they're afraid that they're going to get scooped up. Mm-hmm. See, there's inherent, long-lasting, multi-generational fears of saying, hey, here I am, here's where I live, here's who I am, here's my children.
Mm-hmm.
Register with the government, and the next thing you know, there's somebody knocking on their door.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a genuine fear of being deported. I mean, I'm taking the liberal side in a little bit on this one. How would a person feel if they've been here for 25, 30 years and been constructive, productive members of society, but they're illegal, afraid of getting pulled over and getting put in a bus and taken back to a country that they don't even know anymore?
That would be a really weird fear. I personally was not born in the United States, but my parents were citizens, and I was born in Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine being, you know, like, oh, you can't be in America anymore. You got to go back to Canada.
Right,
Canada.
So please
that
don't
would be
know.
Wild.
So we're in a situation now with ICE where it's progressively getting worse and more violent. And as we said earlier, you know, it's a miracle that nobody's been killed yet on the ICE side, a law enforcement agent. But people who are protesting, I support your protesting. I believe that you have the right to do that, 100%. But violence is never acceptable under any circumstances as a response to anything. Rioting is not acceptable. Burning things down is not acceptable. This is just insanity. If you want to say something, you know, say it at the ballot box. Say it in court. Say it on the streets legally.
I got a text that said the reason why the ICE officers haven't been killed is because the protesters have whistles and the officers have guns.
Well, they also have cars. They also have, unrelated to ICE, I don't know if you read about this, but there were some protests against Iran in Los Angeles. And the U-Haul truck driven by a guy.
I saw that last night.
Who was probably paid as a pro-government protester, drove his U-Haul truck right through the protest. It's a miracle nobody got killed there.
Yeah.
There was a parade that happened in, too, where,
right.
like, not that
so,
long ago.
So, violence, I just can't find any justification for violence against anybody. Now, when the police were being assaulted in some cases during the L.A. riots back in the day, I was living in Los Angeles at the time.
The Rodney King riots?
Correct. Mm-hmm. You know, they were being accosted, and Daryl Gates, the police chief at the time, made a conscious effort to pull back from Florence and Normandy, where the genesis of the whole rioting started, realized they were outnumbered and pulled them back, and that gave a green light for more violence. And it just went nuts from there. So if we don't respond, we being the government, local, state, and federal government don't respond to acts of violence against officials. Where's the line? They're blurring the line. There is no line. It should be black and white. Do not attack. Do not accost. Do not violate the rights of these federal officials to do their job. One thing most people, probably some of our listeners, don't know is the ICE was created as a result of 2001 9/11
mm-hmm.
to round up potential terrorists that were going to threaten our country for another 9/11 style attack. That was the genesis of ICE. But in their legislation and in their mandate, they are supposed to directly involve with the local and state police departments. They're supposed to work in liaison with them, support them. So where are the local police officers in these cities that there's mass protests on to work with ICE?
Well, the governor was telling, in Oregon, was telling them not to help them.
That's what I'm saying. They're mandated to work with the police and the police to work with them. It's not happening in some cases. You had, I believe, I could be mistaken, I believe that the governor of Minnesota wanted to bring in the National Guard.
Right. 2,000 troops, I
right.
read. But you can't do that, can you?
Of course
I mean,
he can.
He can?
Yeah.
But then he's going to fight, his national troops are going to fight Trump's troops? Like, that's,
well,
I don't understand.
Listen, these officials are being lambasted, being bombarded with attacks, both verbally. But one of the solutions might be, as our station manager, Paul, said, change the name of ICE. Add national to ICE and national immigration and customs enforcement and call it nice.
Nice.
There's nice officers doing nice things.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah. Nice mandated
Trump
orders.
Trump would totally do that.
We'll just call it nice.
Him and his Gulf of America.
So that was from Paul. Thank you, Paul.
He's down for changing
I appreciate
names.
That. But,
nice.
But as a group, how would you feel if your neighborhood was flooded with, because you're there in Salem, flooded with protesters, flooded with ICE agents and police, where you couldn't where you couldn't conduct normal business and or personal business without fear of being caught up in that, even if you're completely uninvolved, walking across the street, you know, next thing you know, there's tear gas coming at you.
The one thing I noticed in the last 4 days there was the more helicopters, more military helicopters. When I was driving down 22 yesterday, which is a highway that's east to west, and it was getting ready to go on I-5, there was military helicopters just hovering over us. And it was unusual, and we've seen them a lot lately. There's National Guard right there. I don't know why or what's going on, but it's different.
There's a lot of overlap. You're getting different agencies doing the same thing or there's just a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of the riots that have gone on for days on end when it could have been swept up pretty quickly. Like in Europe, they use the water trucks and the water cannons. Will just
on the people?
Away.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, and sweep
like
them
the
away.
Hose? Like,
uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, high pressure water. And that gets rid of them very quickly.
I bet so.
Also, another thing the European police use is plastic bullets, which basically just shoots from the back of the leg or in the butt cheeks.
Rubber
and
bullets, uh-huh.
Gets them on their way. Because the first few that get shot, and they run, and then that gets...
Or bean bags.
That's it.
Do we use water cannons?
No, we do not. We're too politically correct for that. So we allow them to riot and do their thing and create all the damage and light fire up to electric taxi cabs that cost millions of dollars, you know, in LA, rather than get the water cannons out and get them sprayed away and get them on their men.
And tear gas as well.
We could have cleared that up in 2 days, less than 2 days.
You were remember this as well as I do. Back in the Thatcher administration in England, there's one of the most famous video clips of literally of all time. Are raincoat clad horses and the officers going across dozens of them on horseback, getting crowds dispersed.
Right.
At full gallop.
Yep, they used those on the soccer fans. Over there, the police horses were trained to push people away, and they would step sideways and shove them.
No, these were running at full gallop
going running
forward.
Out, yeah.
It's some famous footage. But the thing I wonder is that the way to go? A quick and surgical just ending of everything where they go in and just round everybody up,
well,
arrest, them,
like it's
arrest them for public nuisance, for violent gas. I don't know, whatever law they want to use.
They'll let them protest until they start smashing stuff up and lighting fires, and then as soon as they start,
they're doing
fires,
it now.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. In Europe, they'll blow them away. Also, you see, they're putting the fires out while they're spraying the protesters who are doing the damage and getting them brushed away.
So, as a conservative, I'm going to, once again, because this is a different kind of show for us, because most of us are in common ground already. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go look from a more liberal perspective. And hey, I'm out here because I don't believe what ICE is doing is correct, and I don't believe that they should be in our community, and I'm absolutely adamantly against it, and I want to protest that. I want to be that person too. When I don't agree with something, I want to shout it from the rooftops.
Yeah.
But what happens is, let's just say I'm that person. I want to go and protest. I'm going to blow my whistles and wave a sign. And then next thing you know, the person next to you throws a rock at an ice truck.
Yeah.
And the person next to you that throws a water bottle at them. And next thing you know, there's tear gas being lobbed. Yeah. Now you're caught up in that. Now you're running. And you're right next to the person who threw a rock at an ice vehicle. Next thing you know, you're in handcuffs.
Yeah.
So as a liberal, I didn't even say that. As a person who disagrees with policy that's being protested,
yeah.
You don't have to be a liberal to be protesting. There's a lot of Republican, conservative protesters in different issues.
Mm-hmm.
How can a person disagree with something and participate in a protest when a percentage of them are doing criminal acts?
Yeah,
and you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's just that you can be arrested at these things for just being there.
That's right.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Now, I'm in full disagreement with that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that those people have the right to protest. Second Amendment rights tells me and tells everybody that they have the right to do that.
Oh, yeah, they do, but it's just when the riots start and then the vandalism starts, then that's when they have to draw the line somewhere.
Sure.
Right.
Well, we're going to come back after the break on KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the Free. Welcome back to Common Ground right here live on 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Give us a text in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-5687. Marissa, what you got?
All right, we're going to give a shout out to our last three sponsors. Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. Celebrating 40 years of doing right by folks one happy driver at a time, off East Andy Divine in Kingman. Neat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. Family-owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins, located at 52 Scott Drive. And we have a new sponsor this week. Thank you to Trailside Firearms and Trading Company, the newest gun store to hit Main Street Havasu. Buy, sell, trade, new iron, old iron, full collections, no smoke, no games, just straight fair deals. And if you're looking for something special or hard to find, Trailside makes it happen. If you want it done right, this is the trail you take. TrailsideFTC.com. And just before I hand it over to you guys, I am playing this one today because today in 1978, the Police started recording their debut album with only a borrowed $1,500 from one of the band members' brothers. I thought that was a little interesting fact.
Today in music
very
history.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, before we go into the next segment, I just want to let people know, first thing, listeners, you need to call us or text us because this could be the first show in a way long time we haven't got a text or a call. So we'd love to hear from you. We got zero today. I'm sad, but I'll get over it.
I got one text.
Well, you did. That was your text? Oh, we
had
one text. Never mind.
Whistles and guns.
But just to let people know exactly what the job entails for customs, for ICE officials, for customs enforcement and illegal immigration. Investigating complex criminal activities related to immigration and customs, identifying, arresting, and managing detainees, working with the federal, state, and local partners. That's really important. And enforcing immigration laws in the interior of the United States. They have no jurisdiction. They have the continental United States and Hawaii and Alaska. They can go anywhere. These are people who are mandated by law to enforce the immigration laws of our country. And the people who are protesting against that, they may as well be protesting against the police, the fire department, people who are just trying to protect and serve. So
there's also a lot of misinformation about the undocumented immigrants being a lots and lots of bad guys. I did look that up as well, and the undocumented immigrants, they commit crimes at lower rates than U.S.-born citizens. So the percentages are the chances of a violent crime, property, or drug offense is greater if you are a U.S.-born citizen than a natural or than an undocumented.
Well,
according to AI.
And the protesters in the media, many of them are saying that we've been ramping up all of these apprehensions under the Trump administration in the last year. Well, it's kind of not true. I look back, they've only been in around for 22, 23 years. I look back in the last 10 years, it's somewhere between 100 and 150,000 arrests and detainments every year. So it hasn't really changed. It's amazing that it hasn't, considering all the illegal immigrants that flooded our country over the last four years.
A lot self-deported. A lot actually did. They bounced.
Well, a lot of them bounced. There's a number of reasons. A lot of people aren't aware of this, but there's been heavy restrictions and threats of restrictions on the money being able to be funneled from the United States to their home countries. So without being taxed for their income, they're going to Western Union and other facilities and sending money by letter, by whatever, to their family members in foreign countries. That's it's unattached, it's unverified, and it's untaxed. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. But the thing that is the worst part about all of this is that American citizens are violently and sometimes violently, but protesting it as a whole against our government and our people who were brought here to protect us. I mean, do you really believe that and I hate to say it like this, but a Karen, is using that term.
Right.
I think the new term now is Jessica, by the way.
Oh.
They came up with a new term, but the millennials. But anyway, a soccer mom protesting because they don't believe what they're seeing is right. I get that. But what it's morphed into is so dangerous and so volatile, and people are going to get caught up. I believe that the lady who was killed, she had a history of being involved in things like this.
Do you think that her partner should be held liable a little bit for yelling "Drive, baby, drive" instead of
comply? I don't know. I mean, you could say that, but she has in charge of her own actions. It'd be like saying
just egging somebody on is that illegal?
Aiding and abetting.
Well, just like there's a lady who's going on trial right now, I believe, for texting her boyfriend to when he was considering committing suicide, and she egged him on and he killed himself. So
I have to put that one.
Yeah, so she's being so yes, there's a precedent for that, for egging someone on, aiding and abetting in a crime.
I was curious about that because just from the videos that I saw, it appeared that her partner was very, very aggressive.
Yes.
And wanting her to drive.
They were 5 miles away from their home base, their home domicile. Although they said that the people round about said it was their neighbor, but they didn't live there.
Their license plate was from Missouri, but they were in Minnesota.
That's right. So they were driving around looking for trouble, from what I'm understanding, and creating trouble where there wasn't. So they were kind of like provocateurs, if you want to call it that.
Protesters?
You know? Yes.
Well, so I'm really curious. You know, you talked about the way Europeans, in particular where you're from, how they handle protesters when it gets a little bit out of hand. They just quell it and quash it. And
water cannons.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
I keep picturing the water cannons and all the frogs in Portland.
Well, so here's the problem I have is we've got a president who has the backbone to do this, but is also at the same time it has to have some restraint because of the backlash. If he brought out a water cannon and started doing that, he's now a dictator. He's now silencing the people, and that's the way the media would treat that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he has the same options as you would in a country that's used to that. It's never happened really here since the riots.
Right. The country's over there. If you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and you get injured by a water cannon, per se, you got no comeback. here in America with all the lawsuits and everything, I think that's why possibly they're not using them here as readily available as they do in Europe.
You mean no comeback, like, sorry, lawsuits. You were, you shouldn't have been there, sucks to be you?
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
That kind of thing, like, too bad?
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
Yeah.
I never even heard of water cannons until today, and I cannot wait to go check that out. Do they use fire hydrants?
No, actually, they're tank, they're like a big tank.
They're self-contained.
On a tank.
Vehicle, like an actual tank?
Yeah, big tanker with a water cannon. On the top.
It has a cow catcher kind of thing in the front.
I think they can refill themselves from a nearby fire hydrant.
Interesting.
And then get back into the action again when they run.
I wonder what the force is, the pressure. I bet it's just gnarly.
Pretty.
You know this?
Yes.
Of course you know.
There's some YouTube videos that show these people getting blown away.
All I can tell you is this. The water cannons, they used those during the riots. And I'm not talking about the recent ones. I'm talking about from the 60s, the Watts riots. They were using. They've also used water cannons during the civil rights movement. This is something that's been going on for years, decades.
Yeah.
So it's a very common practice.
But not here.
Not recently.
Here.
Football
no,
recently.
Here
well
in the United States.
Here in the United States, but not since the 60s.
During the civil rights movement, they were clearing streets of African-American protesters using either fire hoses or water cannons.
Hmm.
It was not uncommon to use that as a way of clearing crowds.
Well, in January, it'd be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, cold as hell.
Yeah, you'd go home after that, right?
Right.
You'd go home. It would be effective. It gets them away.
Yeah,
it would work.
You couldn't use it in Minnesota because it would literally freeze on contact.
Yeah.
I mean, it's below zero kind of temperature,
right.
Freezing temperatures. It wouldn't be good. No good shall come from water cannons. But I want to talk to all of us. If you were adamant about it, it doesn't matter what the issue is. If you were felt strongly about something, really strong, would you be willing to go on the streets and protest? Would you be willing to do that? I have done it. I know people who have done that. I believe in freedom of speech. But I'm asking my guests.
I personally have never protested.
But could you? If
Yeah, I mean, you could if you're staying out of trouble. I mean, it's just, but you got to watch for the radicals around you. They're going to do stuff that's stupid comparison to standing with a sign protesting.
I'm sure, though, something that I felt really passionately about, I probably
Well,
could.
How about this one? How about what happened to you in your restaurant?
Ugh.
I
stood up to them, though.
But
I did.
You did stand up to them, but would you be willing to go to the streets on a street level to do that? Now, the question is, here we go. We got a call.
What happened to me was outrageous.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I do believe in peaceful protests on any, you know, topic or, you know, what you feel strongly against. But what I want to know is, when has the forensic accounting started on some of these domestic terrorists? Because I hear a lot of talk about trying to find the source of the funding. They're shipping all these protesters all over the country. They're flying them. They're funding them. I've actually seen it firsthand when I was in Minneapolis staying at a hotel for the Army Reserves. I actually saw them busting into the hotel. It was unreal. This was 2020. But when does the forensic accounting start? Because I hear a lot of talk about it, but I haven't seen any results, or I haven't seen, you know.
That's an incredible question.
Yeah. Who's they that is buying all
these
tickets?
Bring out some evidence on that.
Well,
let me get off and I'll listen to your conversation.
Thank you very much,
and
I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a really brilliant comment because we have been accusing, we being the right wing and the conservatives have been accusing protesters being paid protesters, where we have videos of trucks pulling up with a truckload of signs that were pre-printed. These aren't things that people just overnight came up with. So there's funding somewhere, and he's absolutely right. Where is the forensic accounting? If, in fact, a person is driving a truck full of signs, why isn't that person being tracked down? They see his license number, find out who he is, where he's come from, interview him, say, tell me the story. Why do you have? How did you get all these? Where did you pick them up? Or the people who, the George Floyd protesters, the Antifas.
Yeah.
They were busing Antifa protesters all over the country.
I actually met a paid protester on an airplane once.
Yeah. And they're paid well.
And he was a flight attendant on one of my flights from Vegas to Portland. And I had asked him, have you ever been to Portland? And he said, oh, only during the George Floyd riots.
Mm-hmm. And you asked him?
And I asked him, yeah, if he was there to support or, you know, why would you come to Portland for the riot?
And
you
he
know?
Said he was paid?
And he said that was his job. And now he has this job, and he was a flight attendant.
Nice. So our caller...
Interesting, though.
So our caller is a really, really good question. Between George Floyd, between immigration and customs enforcement protests, there has to be people in there that are fomenting the violence, that are bringing people in to make the crowds larger.
Yeah.
Who are these people, and why can't our government, who's really good at finding out these kind of things and mm-hmm. digging and probing?
Now I really wish I would have asked the guy who he worked for, but he seemed really uncomfortable talking to me about it, because when I asked him, why were you in Portland before? When did you go to Portland? I can't remember exactly, because I was trying to get him to come to my restaurant, probably. So, making conversation with him.
You've got your BLM, you've got your Antifa, and they're all basically funded by George Soros.
Yeah, everyone talks about Soros, and we're going to get back to that as soon as we get back to our last segment here on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the Free.
Catch you in a minute.
You be my regular stop. All right, boys. I'm going to put my banana Dixie cups.
KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3. We got the last little segment here. And Melissa, you got a couple of things maybe on George Soros?
Well, I was looking up, because you had mentioned during the commercial break about George Soros funding mm-hmm. some of these things. So AI says that there's no credible evidence that George Soros directly funds or supports Antifa.
Okay.
That may be just Antifa. What I believe there's a lot of grassroots. First things first. Let's make it as simple as possible. George Soros has huge amounts of resources and funds and organization, and they are disseminating funds to different groups. Antifa may not be one of them, but they are the ones that are related to socialist and democratic socialist movements.
He did $18 million to Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
$2 million to Stop Cop City. Actually a lot of money that he has used.
But there's small money. What he has is he has groups in almost every state in the country with a large and small amounts of funds. So, for example, I mentioned the signs in the truck. I don't even remember what the protest was. But they were able to contact this group, and say, we need signs. And they would go to a print company, and they'd have the signs made, and they would tell to somebody, say, hey, they're going to be here at 9 o'clock.
It mm-hmm. says that Soros, through his Open Society Foundation, which is OSF, has donated billions to progressive nonprofits worldwide focusing on human rights, democracy, and social justice.
Correct. And that folds into violent movements, nonviolent movements, socialist, communist movements. He is a devout Democratic Socialist.
However, according to KATU.com, so that's Channel 2 News in Portland, OSF explicitly states that it does not fund protest, violence, or groups like Antifa, and opposes all forms of violent action.
Oh. Well, they oppose it, but if they fund groups that commit those acts, they're not backing it. They're not supporting that, but they can't control it either.
So
they're giving lots of money away. Well, I got to tell you something, guys.
A lot of money.
You know, the reality for me is that as a constitutional conservative, please go out and protest. Feel free to voice your opinions loud as you want. Scream it from the top of the roofs. Just don't violate the law.
Right.
You know? Just be civil. I mean, civil discourse, civil protest, the civil rights movement, you know, it was supposed to be civil, you know, it was supposed to be community related, you know. But before we wind up, there'll be a little bit of time left. I want to do a shout out to a loyal listener. I'm going to even call him almost a groupie, my friend Wes.
Oh.
Thanks, Wes, for listening. I appreciate it. But We got a couple minutes here. This is unusual for us, guys. We're completely on common ground from the get-go. but I think we're not on common ground with the country is there's half the country that just doesn't like what's going on in our country.
Right.
And they're strongly against our government right now, and there's nothing we can do to change that. Protest it, and guess what? When the next administration comes in, whether it's a Democratic or Republican or independent administration, there's going to be half the country's not going to agree with them either.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of unrest, and not just here in Iran, across the world.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's been a lot of overthrowing of governments in the last decade, and I think that's just going to continue. It's part of human nature. Change is part of human nature. Mm-hmm. But I believe that we as a people need to support protesters, support the fact that they have the right to do that. Just don't violate the law. Come to our state, come to our country, come to our towns, and speak your mind. But be mindful of the fact that you're affecting other people. You're impacting the way they can get to their jobs, to their homes. You're making them have fear in their lives, not comfortable with going outside, not knowing who the people they're talking to, if they're going to be violent or nonviolent. It's a scary time that we live in.
It is a scary time that we live in.
Yeah, for sure.
But I live in Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
I know, the bubble.
The Habit Dome.
The bubble. Where you guys are protected from.
Well, for people who don't know about Havasu, it's a very nice community to live in, and I feel safe here. We don't have a lot of gang graffiti or violence, and we don't have a lot of violent crime. We don't have a big homeless population here. And I feel safe.
We have good police.
So
yes.
We'll catch you guys here next week at same time, 10 o'clock, and look forward to our next show here on Common Ground.
We have the conspiracy theorist next week.
That's right.
Oh.
We're going
that guy's coming back.
You have a great day, everybody.
See you next Tuesday.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.